start, it's interesting, I'm going to start with a quote from a guy by the name of Bill Bowerman. Have you ever heard of Bill Bowerman? Very famous sports figure in the state of Oregon. And he's a very quotable person, too. And one of the things Bill Bowerman said is this: if you have a body, you are an athlete. In other words, you don't have to be a superstar athlete in order to participate, in order to do things. You don't have to be a superstar. If you have a body, you are an athlete. And so I just want to turn that around a little bit this morning and say this: if you are a Christian, you are a leader. If you're a Christian, you are a leader. Because I think a lot of us struggle with this idea of, I don't really see myself as a leader. In fact, you know, I want you to know this, that most people are really that are really great leaders don't necessarily try to be a leader. They're not trying to lead people. They're leading by how they live. They're leading by example. And the truth is, every one of us as a Christian, people are watching our lives. And we all have influence. People are watching. Our kids are watching. Our neighbors are watching. Our coworkers are watching. We all have influence. And so that's what these messages have been about, the influence that we have as Christians. And we've been using Jesus as the ultimate example of a leader because he is the greatest leader that's ever lived. And so we've been looking at all these different things from Jesus' life that made him such a great leader. And so this morning we're landing on this one. Super important aspect of Jesus' leadership is that Jesus saw the big picture. Jesus saw the big picture. Every leader, every good leader has the ability to see what other people don't see. So instead of seeing what's obvious, a leader sees what's not obvious. Instead of seeing just what's right in front of them, the leader has the ability to see down the road a little bit. The leader has the ability to understand the big picture. And we need this in everyday life. We make so many of our decisions in life based on what we see right in front of us or what's happening right now. We need to learn to think bigger than that, to think beyond that. Let me give you an example from Scripture, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know, so many times we think, well, I'm going to work, and this is my boss, and I'm doing it for this paycheck, and it gets so tedious. But when we see the big picture of our lives, and we recognize that God is at work in our work, it just revolutionizes how we see our jobs. Amen? It revolutionizes our whole view, getting the big picture. And this is how Jesus lived his life. And the Gospels are filled with stories about how Jesus saw the big picture. In fact, last week, Pastor Roger did a great job in speaking on the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And you remember that story. Everybody thought, well, Jesus, you should go now and heal Lazarus. Jesus, time is of the essence. We got to do something right now. You can heal him if we just get there. And remember, Jesus waited 2 more days before he went. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had already died, and everybody was saying, Jesus, if you would have only been here. So they saw the small picture, but Jesus saw the big picture because Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew that raising Lazarus from the dead was going to be such a huge miracle. So Jesus always saw the big picture. When the Pharisees one time were trying to trap Jesus, by having him heal somebody on the Sabbath day. And they bring a guy up. Is it lawful to heal? And here's a guy this poor guy that's all crippled up. And is it lawful to heal? And Jesus goes ahead and heals the man. And he says this. He says, don't you realize that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? See, they were looking at the little picture of this law that they had created, and Jesus is looking at the big picture of this poor, suffering human being. Jesus is saying, this is what this is about. It's not about your little law. This is about a human being that needs to know God's healing power. So all the time, Jesus did this. When when the disciples were crying out in fear on the Sea of Galilee, when the storm was raging, and they're saying, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus gets up and he just speaks to the storm. Jesus always saw the big picture. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus didn't choose one little single commandment. He said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law hinges on these two. So love God, and then everything else will fall into place. Jesus always saw the big picture. When the people wanted to make Jesus some military leader or political leader, Jesus saw the big picture, and he knew that his mission was to go to the cross. Because the bigger picture was not just the salvation of Israel, the bigger picture was the salvation of mankind. And aren't you thankful this morning? Aren't you thankful that Jesus saw the big picture? Amen? Jesus saw the big picture. This is what it takes, by the way, to be a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd, right? A shepherd has to see more than the sheep do. Right? Shepherd's got to be able to see more than the sheep do. And so Jesus is the great shepherd of our souls. And he sees so much more than us. The shepherd has the ability to see what's ahead, to see the dangers that might be up there. The shepherd has the ability to know when there's wolves lurking in the bushes. The shepherd has the ability to know when the sheep are tired and just need to rest. The shepherd sees the big picture, and that's what makes him such a great shepherd. On the other hand, Jesus also wants to teach us how to see those things. He wants us to learn when there's wolves hiding in the bushes. He wants us to know when it's time to take a rest, when our souls need to be replenished. And so Jesus is the great shepherd, but he wants us to learn how to see the big picture. Jesus always sees the big picture in your life. Psalm 139 says this, David wrote, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Jesus sees the big picture. Not only what's on the outside, but what's on the inside of our hearts. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Jesus sees the big picture of your life. Listen, guys, there's no one who knows you better than Jesus, and there's no one who loves you more than Jesus. He knows everything about you. Jesus sees the big picture of your life. You know, in our lives, we can get so tunnel visioned. We just see the here and now. Several years ago, in fact, 6 years ago, our son Stephen moved back to the Valley, and he had lived for 4 years in Seattle and then 3 years in Boston. So he'd been away from the Valley for about 7 years. And he came on to our church staff, and I was picking him up one morning to come up to the church, to come up to the office. And it was a Monday morning, and we're driving up to the church. It's his first day in the office, and Stephen is looking out at the orchards and the vineyards, and he says, Dad, look at this place. Look how beautiful it is. And I realized that I hadn't been doing that. I was just getting so used to driving to the office and back and forth that I wasn't taking time to just recognize how beautiful this place is. And it took a fresh set of eyes to remind me that we live in such a beautiful place. I had gotten so tunnel visioned, and God used Stephen to open up my eyes, to help me think bigger. And so now when I drive up to the church, I always think about that day that Stephen reminded me about this beautiful place that we live in. And so we can get so tunnel vision, but with God's help, we can have such a bigger vision. So what I want to give you in the next few minutes is 5 ways of seeing the bigger picture in your life. 5 ways of seeing the bigger picture in your life. Now, you ask, why is there five ways? Well, the reason there's five ways is because I have about 25 minutes left, and that's about all I can get in 25 minutes. So, let me give you a few of these here. Number one, seeing the big picture means remembering that God is always with you, always fighting for you. God is always with you, always fighting for you. Remember this, God is bigger than your biggest big problem. He is bigger than your biggest big problem. Anything in your life that you think, wow, this is a huge problem, this is a big problem, I'll promise you this, God is bigger. So having the big picture in our lives is having that understanding of how great our God is, how big our God is. I have a great nephew by the name of Judah, and a few weeks ago, he was having a spiritual conversation with his mother, our niece, and his mother, Laura, said, Judah, do you have Jesus in your heart? 4 years old. And Judah says, yes, I have Jesus in my heart and the 12 disciples. And I just thought, man, this kid's thinking big, man. His theology might not be right, but he's thinking big. Think big. Think big. Think David facing Goliath. Now, Goliath, David was probably, he was a young man, teenager. He's probably about 5'2". Goliath, the Bible says, was 9'6" tall. 5'2", 9'6". That's a big difference. That's a big difference. But you know what? David had the ability to look beyond Goliath and see that his God was bigger than Goliath. Right? That's called faith. It's faith. Remember that no matter how big your Goliath is, your God is bigger. Your God is bigger. 1 Samuel 17:45, these are the words of David. You come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Whoo! Pretty bold talk. Why could David be so bold? Because he understood how big his God was. David knew that in the natural he had no chance. No matter how big your Goliath is, guys, your God is bigger. Your God is bigger. Get the big picture. Get the big picture. Number two, seeing the big picture allows us to see hidden opportunities. Hidden opportunities. So instead of focusing on the problems, train your mind to start looking for opportunities in your life. Opportunities to serve God. Opportunities to love people. They're there. Colossians 4:5 says, make the most of every opportunity. And that actually, that command is found several times in the New Testament. Make the most of every opportunity. In other words, the opportunities are there. You just need to see the big picture, and you need to see that they're there. Instead of focusing on problems, focus on opportunities. Opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Opportunities to minister. They're there every day in our lives. These opportunities are there, but we miss them so often because we're not taking time to see the big picture. Recently, I read a story about a pastor in Russia, and even though a lot has changed in Russia, the opposition to the church by the government is still very strong there. And this particular Sunday, the pastor was made aware that there were several members of the FSB, which is the former KGB, that were in church that morning to check this church out and to check this pastor out. And it would have been so easy for this pastor to just kind of hold back and say, well, I want to make sure I, you know, don't say anything that would offend anybody, and I'm in line with the government. It would have been so easy for this pastor to respond that way, but this pastor saw an opportunity. So here's what he did. He stood up in front of the church and he said, "I'd like to welcome our uninvited guests to church this morning. I want you to know more about us, who we are and what we do here." And then he turned his attention to the congregation and he said, "Would all of you in the congregation who used to be regularly involved in criminal acts in our community, but Jesus has changed your life, would you please stand?" And a lot of people stood up. And he said, "You can be seated." And he went on to say, "If you were a drug addict or an alcoholic, but Jesus has set you free from your drugs and alcohol, would you please stand?" And again, a large number of people stood up. He said, "You can be seated." And then the pastor went on to say, I will not ask those of you who were involved in prostitution or sexual promiscuity to stand, or those of you who to this day still struggle with HIV to stand, but I will say to our guests that this is who we are. We serve our community, and we see Jesus making us into good citizens and stable families. This is who we are. Here's a pastor that even though there was an obstacle, he saw the opportunity, amen? The opportunity to speak up for Jesus. This is who we are. Seeing the big picture helps us to see those opportunities. And I want to just encourage you in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Show me opportunities, God. In fact, could you do that tomorrow morning? Holy Spirit, show me the opportunities that you have for me today. What a difference that'll make. Another thing about seeing the big picture is this. Seeing the big picture helps us identify and overcome the schemes of the enemy. Now, whether you understand it or not, whether you want it or not, if you're a Christ follower, you're involved in spiritual warfare. You love God, God loves you, and so the devil hates you. And he is looking for an opportunity to bring his destructive powers to bear in your life. He's a deceiver and a liar. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." Notice that. It doesn't say my people are destroyed by the devil. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. God wants us to have understanding and knowledge. I'm going to give you an example here from the book of 2 Corinthians. And I just need to set this up before we look at the scripture. Here's what I'm talking about when I talk about seeing the big picture and identifying the schemes of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, who had established the church in Corinth, was their pastor and then had moved away. After he moved away, a number of people came in that wanted to start having influence, wanted to have positions of power in the church. And in order to do that, they began to undermine Paul's ministry. So they began to undermine Paul's teaching and say, "We know more than Paul. God's shown us so much more. We're so much more advanced than Paul." And as they're doing this, some of those people bought into it, but a lot of them were really angry at these guys because Paul was their spiritual father. And they're like, "You don't mess with Paul," right? And so these people are rising up and they're very angry. And it would have been so easy for Paul to just step in, "Yes, you're right to be angry. Thanks for sticking up for me." But instead, Paul saw the bigger picture. And he knew that if they allowed that bitterness to dwell in their hearts, it would destroy them spiritually. So here's the advice that Paul wrote to them, the command that Paul wrote to them. He said, "If there's anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." Paul is saying, "Look, I've forgiven these people, and so should you. Because if we continue to allow bitterness and unforgiveness to come into our hearts, it's not going to do us any good. It's going to corrupt our hearts. See, guys, the devil wants you to see the bait, but not the hook. That's exactly what was happening here. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. Everything we do in life, there's a ripple effect. There's consequences. And there's unintended consequences. Things that we didn't think of were going to happen, and they happen. But remember this in life, that as we're making decisions as Christians, what's my attitude going to be? What's my heart going to be? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? We got to have the big picture. Not just the here and now, not just the instantaneous response, but what effect is this going to have down the road on my spiritual life? What effect is this going to have on other people? I got to say, church, and I'm not saying this about Bethel Church, but I got to say this about the American church in general. When I see Facebook posts, when I see attitudes, when I see words, when I see the actions of so many Christians in America, I see very little difference between people who call themselves Christians and people who are in the world. We talk and act and think way too much like the world does. We need to understand the spiritual consequences of our actions and our words. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, Paul said this, so wise. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. We have the attitude sometimes that, how much can I look like the world? How much can I act like these other people? And that's not the question we should be asking. We need to ask, how much can I act like Jesus? How much can I talk like Jesus? Amen? Not the people of this world, not this world, but how much can I be like Jesus in my life? Get the big picture. The next thing is this. Seeing the big picture helps us understand that even the little things we do for God matter. Even the little, because God will sometimes ask you to do something that you think, I don't get it. This seems inconsequential. This is such a small thing. Doesn't really matter. Remember, God sees the big picture, and there's a reason he's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. Right? You might think it's a small thing, but God sees the big picture. So we have to learn to be obedient and faithful, even in the little things in life, those small things that make a difference. A couple of Saturdays ago at our men's breakfast, one of our church members, Dan Rees, shared about how his family this summer, they took a missions trip down to Mexico with this organization. They built two houses down in Mexico for some needy families. And if you just think about it as a couple of houses, you might think, what's the big deal? But think about this. Think about the big picture of building those houses, the big picture. That these kids now, these children, know that some Christians who they'd never met before built a house for them and gave it to them. The impact that has on their hearts, and then as they grow up and they have their own families, think generations to come. Think of the impact on the whole neighborhood. Who are these people building these houses? What's this all about? It's a Christian ministry that's coming to build these houses for these families. And think about the impact. Think about what that says. What seems like it might be a little thing is a great thing when you look at the big picture. Don't ever think, and by the way, we took an offering and we provided some things for those houses. And you might think, what's my little offering matter? Or what is my little ministry? What does it matter? I'm just a greeter. What does that matter? And no one's going to care if I show up today, and they won't even miss me. No, you're missing the big picture. Even the little things we do matter to God. Amen? I mean, watching kids in Promised Land, these little guys, little girls, they're in Promised Land and loving them and teaching them. Don't ever think that's not important. It matters. Even the little things, the things that seem little, they matter because God sees the big picture, the big picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, "Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Big picture. "If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." We've gotten to this bad habit in American Christianity of superstar Christianity. We've got these super preachers, these mega churches, these incredible worship music, and we've got kind of this superstar mentality. That's not what makes a difference. We need to get back to every single one of us. Every single one of us makes a difference for the kingdom of God. I got to say that again because not enough of you amen. Every one of us makes a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's where lives begin to change. That's where the church has an impact on their community. Every one of us, as Christ followers, recognizing God wants to use us each and every day of our lives. And this is so counterculture to me, myself, and I culture that we have in America. We serve. We lay down our lives. We give. Amen? We give. All right, one more thing. Seeing the big picture. Seeing the big picture means seeing our brokenness through the lens of God's redemptive plan. Seeing our brokenness through the lens of God's redemptive plan. You know, in life, we see snapshots of our life, and Jesus sees the big picture. The big picture. I was going to use my phone as an illustration. I forgot to bring it. So, Janice, do you have your iPhone there? What a beautiful case that is. It's so nice. All right. Now, with your phone these days, of course, you can take pictures. But when you take a picture, you just get one snapshot, right? One snapshot. But these iPhones, they've got this incredible feature called pano. You know what the pano is? So you can hold down the button and start over here and go clear across the whole thing. And then I've got the whole picture. See, we see life in snapshots, just this segment of my life, and we're trying to put them together and trying to make meaning out of them. God sees the big picture in your life. From the beginning, well, your life never ends, actually. But God sees the big picture, not just the snapshot. A lot of times we get stuck. We get stuck on one event in our life, one period in our life, one snapshot. We get stuck there. We got to remember that Jesus is at work in our lives, and he sees the big picture of our life. The big picture. Don't get stuck. You know, when you're reading a book, you can't go on to the next chapter if you keep rereading the last chapter. And that's where a lot of people are in life. They just keep rehashing, rereading, re-going through, just doing it over and over and over again, and they can't move on because they're stuck here. Remember this, God has a big, beautiful plan for your life. Don't get stuck on one thing. A while back, a friend told me about this a Japanese art form that I found so fascinating. It's called kintsugi. Kintsugi. And what it is it's taking pieces of pottery that had been broken and would normally be thrown out. But they have this process where they use this solution. They actually gold. There's gold in it, and there's other things. They kind of make a liquid gold, and using that, they put the pottery back together. And so there's one right there, and you can see where this piece of pottery had been cracked, and then it was filled in with the gold. Go on in the next one. And they're actually fascinating. They're beautiful. So all of these were pieces of pottery that normally would have been thrown away, but instead of being thrown away, someone took them and repurposed them and made them actually into something that's more beautiful than it was before it was broken. And what a picture of our lives. God takes our brokenness and he restores, he redeems, he heals, and he makes something beautiful out of our lives. And the cool thing is now our lives are not just beautiful because we're beautiful. Now our lives are beautiful because what God has done. And people can look at our lives even though we were broken. People can look at our lives and they can see Jesus and what he's done in our lives. God has the big picture of your life. All those things that you just thought were so worthless and wasted and painful. I don't want to minimize the pain, but I want to say this. God never wastes pain. There's purpose. God's redemptive plan. This is having the big picture of your life. God is at work. He's got good things for you in your life. He brings healing and restoration, and our lives make a difference. You can't start the next chapter if you keep rereading the last chapter. I'm going to ask Pastor Roger to come, and we're going to respond to the word of God this morning, in particular this last point, and just ask God to take our brokenness, to bring healing and restoration, and help us to see the big picture of how God will still use us in our lives. In fact, he'll use us for greater things than we ever imagined.
See you now. I can see.